It's 1997. Okay, come back with me to 1997. Danielle and I have been married 2 years. At the end of 1996, we have signed a blank piece of paper before God, a story I share quite regularly, where it's kind of like essentially a moment of surrender and saying, God, we're going to sign the bottom of this page. Whatever you want to fill in this contract, we're already pre-agreeing to, which is so scary and dangerous. And so about 10 months later, this is how one of us looks. Let's just put a little photo up of how one of us looks in this particular moment. We said yes to God. Look what happened. It's amazing. So we signed the piece of paper. And in August 1997, so I'm 26, Danielle's 24, we're asked to be the assistant pastors of Way of the Sea Christian City Church, or this, which is what this church is, or Way of the Sea Christian Church at that point. And so we know it's a big moment. It's a big decision for us. And so as we ponder this big decision, I've done business degree, I'm running businesses. Danielle's done a nursing degree, and now she's done her midwifery graduate diploma, so she's now a midwife. And we consider this moment, will we step into, I'd like to say paid ministry, but it wasn't, but will we step into ministry in that moment at that time? And, we kind of pre-counted the cost. It might mean for Danielle, it might mean that her dream of being a midwife might be kind of something that's going to go on the back burner if we say yes to this. I like to say she had a bit of a midwife crisis at that moment. Sorry, never gets old. I just always like to slot that in there. So we're like considering and thinking about this, and we're praying. And so it's a big decision. And life brings us big decisions. So what did we do? We actually didn't just automatically say yes, we counted the cost. We decided we're going to go away for a couple of nights, and so we went up to Bendel's Cottages in Mullaney to seek God and really just pray and ask God to guide our steps as we considered this fork in the road kind of moment for us. And as we prayed and sought God, I remember a particular moment of standing and looking out over the coast, and really so much of this question lined up with promises and prophecies and things that we'd sensed for both of us separately. And now, of course, we'd signed this piece of paper. And so ultimately, we just had an absolute peace that this was the correct next step for us. We came back and said, yes, let's go, not knowing it was to be assistant pastors. We didn't know it would be within 3 years we'd be the senior pastors, but we were just yes to that particular role. And every time, every moment in our life, there are particular moments in our life where we have to make big decisions. Big decisions. Not every day big decisions, but decisions where the stakes are high. Decisions that will define the direction of our lives. I'm not talking about whether you wear the black pants or the blue pants. I'm not talking about Vegemite on your toast or peanut butter. God has empowered you to make that decision, okay? I'm not talking about which cafe you're going to go to or any of that. I'm talking about the big ones, the big decisions that we need to make. Big decisions where the stakes are high. Things like, who will I marry? Where will I live? What church should I be part of? What career should I pursue? Should I change jobs right now? Should I start a business or should I stop a business? Should I go into partnership in a business? Major financial decision. Should I stretch into this area with buying a house or investing? Is it time to retire? What about the ministry opportunities that come before us? These are big moments and big decisions that we need to make. And today, I want to talk about markers for making big decisions. Markers for making big decisions. I've shared this message before, but really over a period of time, I've referred so many people to this message who are making big decisions. I want to kind of go back over this component. Who's right now in the process of making a big decision? Give me a wave. All right, perfect for you today. For all of us else, we can put it on the back burner. Proverbs 3 is probably my favorite scripture that relates to this, and it goes like this. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your understanding. Oh, that's a little bit rude, isn't it? What do you mean? I'm pretty good. I'm pretty wise. No. Don't depend on your understanding. Seek His will in all you do. What we're looking to do is to tap into God's will for our life. Tap into God's will. And He will show you which path to take. Another version says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. First of all, I want us to know very clearly that God is interested in helping us take the big decisions that will determine the future of our lives. God sees the end from the beginning. He's wired you with a purpose. He's given you a calling, and there are reasons that you've been put on this earth. And so partnering with God to make the big decisions is going to increase the probability that we'll make decisions that work out great, because some decisions don't work out great. And if we can avoid making those decisions, it's going to help us. Who's with me today? Turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to be good for you today. All right, so I'm going to share four things to prepare us for making a big decision. And then I'm going to share four markers when we're making the big decision. So, okay, you're at that point. You're going to make this big decision. You're waiting. And so how do I prepare myself? Because it's really about hearing from God. This is what we want to do. We want to make decisions where God is directing our steps, right? So the first one is, well, you have to position yourself to hear His voice. And the way we do that is by getting filled with the Holy Spirit, being in the Word every day, spending time in fasting and prayer. The bigger the decision, the more prayer, fasting, waiting on God there needs to be. So we're really positioning ourselves so that we're spiritually full. We're spiritually strong, and the antenna is getting larger to tune into what God's saying. And that happens as we pray in the Spirit, we build ourselves up, we're in the Word of God, we fast. And how many people, we just came off a 10-day fast, who found you heard God clearer? There we go. So that's number one, position yourself to hear His voice. Okay, number two, who's ever driven in a fog? You know, if those of you live up on the range, that'll be your experience. I've driven in fogs in the Blue Mountains and country Victoria, where literally you can't see more than 5 meters in front of the car. You're trying to defrost the windows, trying to clear all the fog off. Sometimes putting your head outside the window because you're hoping you can see clearer. Like, it's foggy, all right? All right, so here's the next point. Don't make big decisions when you're in emotional fog. Emotional fog. What's emotional fog? Oh, let me tell you what it is. You're emotionally depleted. You've been giving out and tired and worn down, and you know you're snappy, you're teary, and you're just kind of, I need to make a big decision. Not the time to make a big decision when you're emotionally depleted. Slow it down. Slow it down, everybody. Don't make a big decision when you're grieving. If you're in grief, give yourself a chance to process through the grief and just slow it down. Don't make a big decision when you're annoyed or you're reacting to something. So you're like, oh, this went down and I'm so annoyed, so now I'm going to make a big decision to change my whole life. Not the time. You're in an emotional fog. You don't see clearly. So slow it down. We don't want to make a big decision out of reaction. We want to make it out of revelation. So slow it down. Slow it down. Now here's the thing: when the decision is quite emotional, the bigger the more emotional the decision, the more you need to slow it down. Can I say it like this? The more hormones are involved, you really need to slow it down. Now I'm talking about relationships particularly, because hormones have a way of overriding common sense and wisdom. So sometimes, just saying, that's for someone, that's bonus. When emotions are high, discernment is low. So slow it down. All right, so don't make big decisions in an emotional fog. Don't turn to your neighbor and ask them if they're in an emotional fog right now. Don't do that. All right, number three. Before you even start looking, surrender. Surrender to God. So this is James 4:13-15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, we'll make money. Why do you even know what will happen? Why? You do not even know what will happen. What's your life? You are a mist. There it is again, but different context. That appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. Okay, so too often, probably one of the big decisions I've seen young couples make, particularly, is the idea of, oh, I'm going to chase money. So we're going to move to a certain place to earn a certain amount of income that will set us up for the rest of our lives. But often that's I understand that that's part of the picture, but people move away from their support base. They move away from their church base, and suddenly in the pursuit of that, which is okay in and of itself, someone's actually unplugged and kind of got disconnected from the source of life. And then suddenly, I've seen it too often where marriages come under so much strain. And so I've always heard this, and Russ and I used to talk about this 30 years ago, this great principle, find a great church. Get planted and build your life around that great church. That will set you up in making big decisions. So don't just run off for the sake of chasing money, because that's not the number one thing. Now, if you find yourself rushing in the process of seeking God for wisdom or skipping steps, that's a red flag. If you find yourself, I've got to make this decision really quickly, and you're pressuring people around you, then that's a problem. So slow it down. And surrender. I like to use this expression, put it in neutral. What does that mean? Well, neutral means if God says move forward, I can put it into first gear. But if neutral can also mean if God says put it in reverse, I can put it in reverse. I've disconnected emotionally from one way or the other so that I can clearly allow God to speak, even if it's not emotionally what I'd like him to say right now. Put it in reverse. Put it in neutral. So just calm it down, put it in neutral. And the fourth thing, this is in preparation. Get wisdom. Get wisdom, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get wisdom, Proverbs says. Without counsel, this is Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So this is part of preparing to make a decision. Do your research. Talk to some experts. Talk to, you know, if it's about a house, talk to a financial planner or talk to someone who's really got fruit in that area. Now, hear what I said, fruit, not opinions. Opinions, everybody's got opinions. They're like belly buttons. They're easy. But what we're looking for is someone who's got fruit in the area you need advice in, but also fruit in their walk with God. Do you want their walk? If you want their walk, if you want their fruit, ask the questions. How did you get there? What's some principles? Just basically get wisdom and that will set you up. Sometimes wisdom just makes a decision for you. Sometimes wisdom, you don't even have to go any further in asking God. Wisdom just says, okay, we're not ready for that right now. I'm not at that place right now. Makes sense. So that's the four things to prepare yourself to hear from God. One, surrender. Or number three, surrender, get wisdom, don't make a big decision in an emotional fog, and prepare yourself by getting filled with the Holy Spirit and tuning in and fasting. Good? So that's how we prepare. Then let's talk about these markers. These are four markers. I've taught this for almost 20 years. I'd like you to think of it like a bicycle code. Okay, so the bigger the decision, the more important. The bicycle code. To crack that code, you've got to get every digit right. And so when you're making a big decision, I'm going to give you four things that I think are really important that all need to line up to make the big decision. Does that make sense right now? All right, four things. Okay, so let's go. Markers of a big decision. The first one is this. God speaks. You want to hear God speak to you. You're making a big decision. You want to hear the voice of God. Here's what I found. If it's a really big decision that's going to mean a big change in your life, it's not like God's only going to whisper once and you're going to miss it. When it's big, he'll say it over and over, clearly and clearly, and you won't be able to miss it. I remember when my eldest son, Jackson, was here on the coast. He'd grown up on the coast with us, and he just, over a period of time, a few prophets were coming on and just talking about change or talking about going somewhere. And I remember one particular prophet, she said, "Jackson, you stand up. I see you very quickly being violently uprooted and relocated." I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. But then God gave a friend of his a dream, and the four of them were looking to move into a house, and then the friend's like, "But then you just disappeared out of being one of the four of us." And then God gave a scripture to me, a dream to Danielle, and kept speaking. And so when God's got a big change, God, he's not dumb. He's not unable to speak. God can speak very clearly. So don't worry if you've postured your heart to hear from him that he'll speak. So he will speak. Now, what I will say is be wary if it's an emotional decision. And so often big decisions are emotional decisions. Be wary of, I heard God say to me in my heart. Because, you know, sometimes I've heard that and it's like God keeps changing his mind every 3 days. But that wasn't God, that was just because we're making an emotional, I feel this, I feel that, I feel this. So what we want to do is park feelings and ask for some things that are external to our feelings that are going to help us make a big decision. How are we doing? Psalm 25 verse 12 says this, "Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path that they should choose." He will show them the path. All right, so let's get a few ways that God will do this. And the Whisper book by Mark Batterson is a great book about hearing the voice of God. But I'd say this, probably the first one I'd say is get a word from God. What does that mean? What's a word from God? Well, Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So here's the great thing with God is he can so often quicken a scripture as you read daily and it just stands out to you. And particularly if you're going to make a big change in your life, you need a word. When we asked Dan and Ebony Frecker about moving to Melbourne to plant a church, we're like, we're not looking for a feeling. You need a word from God. Because when it all hits the fan, when it's all tough, you need to be able to say, oh, we've forgotten the feeling and we've forgotten being asked, but God said this to us. This is what God's word was from us. He gave me a word. When we look to relocate in houses and a number of different things, we've always done it with a rhema word from God. It's come alive and quick. And sometimes what's really cool is we've asked God for advice, for his wisdom about something, and I've literally sensed him say, "Go back and look at what you wrote in your journal 2 days ago. Go back and have a look and say, oh, I wrote," because every day I write a scripture down. Every day as I read the Bible, I write down a scripture that will stick out to me. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's correction. But every now and then, it's a guidance scripture. And you don't just wait till you need guidance to start reading the Bible. Because when you start saying, "God, I need you to speak to me about this decision," he'll go, "That's great, because I've got 3 months of other things I want to talk to you about. Because you haven't been listening to me up until now. And now I've got your attention." So he wants to speak. So a word. You need to just say this after me. I need a word from God. All right, a prophetic word's another way God will speak. A prophetic word. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20-21. "Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good." So, okay, here's the thing. So God uses prophecy as part of the way that he speaks to us. Now, I'm not going to, here's the thing. When you get prophecies, you need to test them and weigh them. That's what the scripture said, weigh them. All right. Now, the more recognized and fruitful a person is in their prophetic ministry, and they're not, okay, what we don't want is a maverick cowboy floating from church to church in the car park giving us prophecies. That, okay, the weight on that is, you don't rate them. You only rate fruit from people who are plugged, planted, submitted, and able to be adjusted, and they've got fruit in their life. All right, so that being said, you know, if you got a prophecy from Luca Robertson, you could give that a weight of 9 out of 10. Proven. someone who's proven and fruitful over decades. And I'm not going to give you other people and the weight you're going to put on them, but here's the deal. If someone's new and learning how to prophesy, don't go uprooting your life because someone who's learning how to prophesy gave you a word. Don't go doing that. You put a little bit of weight on that. Now, and if you're learning how to prophesy, don't prophesy direction to anybody, just saying. Prophesy encouragement to people. How are we going? Are we making sense? But prophetic words, they come and we weigh them. And often, they'll be one of two things. One, they'll be God rattling your cage to get you to start thinking about a shift. Okay? And so usually there'll be a couple of those. Like, oh, okay, because God's been trying to speak to you another way. And you've been like, la, 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 I'm not listening. And then a prophecy will come and he's like, God's like, come on, wake up. I've got something more for you. More often than not, a prophecy is a confirmation of a word or a scripture that God has given you. Like the Holy Spirit's prompted a rhema scripture to you. Okay, that's prophecy. Making sense? So when Jackson got the violently uprooted word, that word, it wasn't in isolation. It was part of God speaking in a whole picture of words. All right, the next one is God can speak to you through, these are the ways God speaks, a vision or a clear picture. You're praying, you're seeking God, and you just get a clear picture. Paul, the Apostle Paul, Acts 16, 9 to 10, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So in this, he saw a picture and he knew it was God. He felt the presence of God. And because he saw that picture in prayer, that was one of the ways that God guided his steps. God moved them forward. There will be time and time again, and I think you can trust over a period of time as you learn to hear God, some of us will know that's one of the primary ways God speaks to us. Okay, visions while you're praying and unexpected. I prayed for a period of time for my business when it was going through a really tough time. And I found at the end of praying and being filled and confident, I kept seeing one particular, like a vision of one particular product. And just this whisper to my heart, build a range around that one product. And this happened to me over about, I'd say about 2 or 3 weeks. And so that became the direction. I made a change in my business. And because of this vision from God, we made this change in my direction. That became the number one product. Now for 25 years since that, every year, that is still my number one product in my business. Where did it come from? The direction for my business came from a vision or a picture from God in prayer. So God can speak like that through pictures. He also can do that through dreams. Now we're talking about vivid, spirit-stirred dreams. Who hears God through your dreams? Give me a wave. Who's like that? All right. It's something to open up your faith for that. I particularly like it because it's not my logic involved. It's like God's like, you lie down and be quiet, and I'm going to just drop in something that is not emotionally connected, but it's going to be clear, often symbolic. And there's a whole key to, if you can remember it clearly when you wake up, and there's a sense, and you know, again, I won't share for other people what their dreams is, but it can be very, very powerful dreams. I shared earlier about sometimes a fellow believer has a dream for you, and they share it with you, particularly if they don't know that you're making a big decision. But they share this dream with you and you're like, oh my gosh, you don't know, you're not aware of this, but I'm making a big decision and that really means something to me. Or maybe it's a scripture they give you, or maybe it's a prophetic word they give you. Again, God can use, that's why being part of a connect group, being part of the church family is a way that God will encourage and speak to us. And ultimately, you can get an inner whisper. And like I said, the caution around that. I've needed to make a decision about something when my back's to the wall, so I'm a bit anxious. And then I prayed in tongues for an hour, but I never really got out of my head. So just because you pray in the Spirit doesn't mean the thoughts that pop into your mind are God thoughts. And so really, at the end of praying in tongues, I just kept stressing, praying, and tried to solve the problem in my mind. And then I actually, later on, you know, fortunately this one only lasted about a week before I realized it wasn't going to work. But about a week later, I realized that wasn't God speaking to me. That was just thoughts popping into my head while I'm stressed and trying to solve my problem. Now, praying and trying to solve your problem is good. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't make the mistake of thinking because a thought popped into your mind when you prayed that it's God. We're going okay? I remember, I'll just tell you this as a little funny story. I remember this when CFM, I think it was, or Mix FM, had the secret sound of the Sunshine Coast. And essentially, every day, if no one guessed what it was, it would skyrocket $100, and it got up to about $4,000. We were in the Kiwanis Community Center. I was lying on the floor after being prayed for in a ministry time, and I just began to think about the secret sound. I thought, oh, what is it, Lord? All right? And this sound popped into my head. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Okay, I played this way too far down the track, all right? So I'm like, great, I'm going to ring them. I'm going to tell them what it is. They're going to go, that's incredible. How did you get that? I'm going to tell them God told me. People are going to hear about God and that He still speaks today. They're going to come to church. They're going to get saved. I was playing it all out of my head. I rang up. I got through. I talked to the guy. He said, we've had too many people today. I'm going, no, really, I want to be the guy. He goes, all right, I'll let you on. I told him it was wrong. And it was quite a humbling experience for me. Just realizing because a thought pops into your mind on the altar. Come on, somebody. It doesn't necessarily mean it's God. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's quite funny. Really, that's quite funny. All right, so that's number one. In the code, number one of your big decision is God speaks. Everybody say God speaks. Number two is spiritual oversight. Spiritual oversight. When we first became the pastors, Danielle and I, Pastor Chris Pringle came to our church late 90s. We went out for lunch in Alexandra Headland with her. And as we're sitting there, we're telling her this, our story of we're loving pastoring the church, but really what we're hoping is one day we'll move to Melbourne and plant a church and we'll become real pastors if we plant a church. And so that's in our heart. That's what we're talking about. And as we sit there, she begins to, you could see her discerning the voice of God. And she begins to say, well, Pastor Phil and I have just finished a 20-year commitment to be in Sydney, and we've just renewed another 20 years to continue in Sydney. We made a lifetime commitment, like a 20-year commitment to God, and we've renewed it. She said, you guys should pray and think about making a lifetime commitment to the Sunshine Coast. I'm like, oh, really? That's awesome. So at that point, it wasn't actually what we wanted to hear. But our leader spoke and it resonated and we went away and we prayed about it and we began to seek God. And we really felt God speak to us and other things. And so we came back to the team at that point and said, you know what? God's spoken to us and we're making a lifetime commitment to the Sunshine Coast. We're going to get buried here on the Sunshine Coast or ashes scattered or whatever's going to happen. We're here. And that moment brought such a stability and security to the church and also to us in moving forward. And part of that came because God used one of our leaders to speak His will into our life. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you. The Bible says they have to give an account for your life to God. Now, I'm not talking like Old Testament prophets where you go to a pastor and you say, prophesy about what I should do. None of us as pastors or spiritually mature leaders in church wants to control you or tell you what you should do. That's not the heartbeat of what this is about. This is about recognizing that there are people who pray for you every day who have a vested interest in you doing well and can actually, you can bounce something off them, all right? So this is, and it can be pastors. We've got a whole lot of great pastors here. We've got spiritually mature leaders in our church. People have been around for years. And you can sit down, and this would be my approach. It could be your Connect group leader. It'd just be someone who's a leader in the church and they've got fruit and experience. And so this is how I would approach them. I'd sit down and say, Pastor Simon, I'm thinking about making a big decision. I would really love your wisdom and feedback on this big decision. So I'm not asking to tell me what to do. I love your wisdom and feedback. I love your prayerful consideration about this. You're not as emotionally connected to this outcome as I am, so I feel like it's safe for me to ask you to pray. And even as I'm talking, so then if someone comes and says to me like that, I would just ask, well, what's God been saying? Talk me through the process of the first point. What's the scriptures? What's the dreams? Pull out your prophecies. Let's talk about those prophecies. Let's find some alignment with what you're thinking based on what God's been saying to you outside of just, I feel like. Let's see what God's been saying. And in that, this is, and then I would say, does that resonate with you? I'm leaning towards this. Does that resonate with you? Am I missing something? These are just simple questions. And I would say, if not, can you go away and pray about it? Just come back to me. What I'm really looking for is for any red flags. That's what I'm looking for, red flags. I'm not looking for a you should, or thus saith God, or if I were you, I would. I'm just looking, is there anything I need? Should I slow this down? Should I? And this is such a beautiful place. I love this. And more often than not, I've sat with people in that setting, and more often than not, I've started with a no, but as they've shared, I'm like, oh man, this is God. I didn't think this was right, but that scripture, that's amazing. That dream, wow. So more often than not, and this becomes the second of the markers that becomes a safe place. So that when it hits the fan and you're not making an emotional decision, you're making a God-breathed decision. This is why Jeremiah says, I'll give you shepherds after my own heart. Shepherds is the Greek word for pastors, who will guide you with knowledge and understanding. When I was interested in dating, she wasn't Pastor Danielle then, she was my best mate's little sister. So when I was interested in starting to date her, not my brother's sister, let's get that right. Because that would be really weird, and we're not that kind of church. I was batching with Danielle's oldest brother, who's my best mate, and she used to come over and hang out. Visiting her brother, not, she was visiting me. Anyway, we're friends. And so before I started the date, I just talked to our pastor. I said, Pastor Fletch, I'm thinking of beginning a relationship. It wasn't I'm thinking about marrying her. I was just thinking of beginning a relationship. Would you have any concerns about that? It's just simple. And he's like, no, go for it. You couldn't do better. Words to that effect. Was that a you should marry her moment? No, it wasn't. That was just you're making a decision, follow the process, but you're avoiding making dumb decisions. That's helpful. So spiritual oversight is a spiritual safety net. If you're hiding your decisions from leaders, that's a red flag. Oh, okay, keep moving. Agreement is number three. Agreement. Amos 3 verse 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? All right, this might mean, so if you're if you're married and you're the impetuous make a decision, let's go one. All right, how many of them have we got in the room? Let's just make a decision, let's do it. All right, what we need is to slow it down and walk through the process, the pros and cons, the prayer together, talk it out until we get into agreement. I have tried this. I've tried to overpower and wrestle my decision-making skills and leadership into a moment, we're going to do this. And I'm very grateful for a wife who will dig her heels in if she's not feeling it. Because eventually there's wisdom in delay. There's wisdom in thinking it through. There's wisdom in talking. And we come to a place of agreement. And there's power in agreement, couples. Married couples get in agreement for any big decision. If your spouse is holding out, that might just be the Lord. You're like, no, it's not. They're just being stuck. No, that might just be God. Oh, a few elbows went on there. What's going on? I remember when Danielle and I bought an investment property, our first one, and we just both prayed and we both finished praying. We both felt we should buy a property in Gladstone. And we both, like, awesome, we're in agreement. So we bought a property in Gladstone. It went horribly wrong for a year. Who was a happy husband that he hadn't forced the idea of Gladstone onto his wife at that particular moment? That's me. Why? Because we got in agreement. Get in agreement. Now, if you're not married, if you're at home with parents, that principle works with parents. Get in agreement with your parents. If you're still living at home, you're young like that. So you're just going on this journey and it's a safety net for you to be in agreement. Any key decision that we make as a church, a board and leaders, is it's in unity with the board and our executive team. It's agreement. This is what the Acts in the New Testament church said this, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than this. And they went on and talked about their outcome. How did they land there? By agreement and the Holy Spirit. We get in agreement. Last one is peace. Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So peace is where you made a decision and then it sits down on the inside of you. And you might be nervous because it's different or new or out of your comfort zone. You might be nervous because, oh my gosh, I'm going to get married and that's such a big deal. So distinct nervous from peace. A lack of peace is where we're trying to force something and it just, and we just try, we put it down and just try and overpower that feeling. If you have to convince yourself that you have peace, you probably don't. Probably don't. So peace is an umpire. Peace is what rules in our hearts. Often I'll, when I'm praying about something and thinking about it and I'm making a decision, I'll imagine I walk towards that and I just talk to the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Are you on that? Because if he's like, no, 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 he's back there. He didn't come. That's often we make a decision and the Holy Spirit's like, I'm staying back here. And we're out without him. We're like, oh, that doesn't feel peaceful. And he's like, that's because I'm come back here and let's rethink this decision. Like, oh. And you're better to rethink it and be a little embarrassed and perceive to change your mind than to race ahead and then kind of have to deal with all the consequences. Sometimes I say, God, if you're into this, just let me see a green light. Just whatever it might be. You can work with the Holy Spirit to find peace. Are we making sense today? Four markers of big decisions. It will help you. The bigger they are, the more important they are. God speaks to you. Spiritual oversight will be a safety net for you. Agreement together with spouse, parents, team is really important. And the peace of God will rule our heart. Let me pray together right now. Particularly if you're making a big decision right now, raise your hand. Father, I just thank you for every person in this room who's making big decisions. I ask for the wisdom of God. I ask that you'd speak clearly on the inside. Lord, your word would be clear. There'd be prophetic voices. Just these things would line up because you love people and you want to guide us and lead us. So I pray for the favor, wisdom, and blessing of God in these big decisions in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise right now.